Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we welcome you aboard. Looking forward to having your dialogue and discussion on the issues that we discuss each day. You can do that by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Get your telephone call straight through to the studio and right to the microphone so that we can have the discussion. I am looking forward to that today. Before we get into our monologue and discussion today, let me just, first of all, do a little preface to this broadcast. It has nothing to do with the issue that we'll be covering. But I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that God answered the prayer of conservatives and Christians across America and gave us Judge Brett Kavanaugh as U.S. Supreme Court Justice. And that's as a result, I believe, God's direct intervention, as a direct result of multitudes, hundreds of millions of people across America praying that God would vindicate him and that he would give him that seat. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do in the next few months, in the next couple of years, under the leadership of President Donald J. Trump. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for what God has done through him, even in the brief two-year period of time that he's been in office. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues today, I want us to understand that we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not a matter of political party. It's not a matter of denominational distinctive. It's not a matter of ideological rites, rituals, rules, or regulations, or some thoughts and philosophies that some may have. It's based on the authority of Scripture. And I indicate this and emphasize this in every broadcast because I want you, our listeners, to understand that God has given us a toolbook, a handbook, a guidebook, a lamp unto our feet, and a light unto our pathway, that we might understand what God would have us to do in every circumstance with every issue that we're faced with. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand this broadcast is a listener-supported broadcast. It's by your calls and your dialogue and discussion, and also by a multitude that have recently decided they wanted to invest in this ministry, that it might continue to go forward, that Let's Face the Issues might be continue to be heard daily on this radio broadcast. So if you have a desire to invest where God's money can be utilized for this broadcast to continue, you do so. Had an individual just in the past couple of weeks that had called a number of times and had discussed things, and then offline he called on one occasion, and he said, "You know, God has placed on my heart to put my money where my mouth is." And therefore, he sent in a check to help underwrite this broadcast. It gets quite expensive, but it's a ministry that I believe God would have us to do. But let me simply say this. I believe that you will have a greater, it will have a greater impact on your life and on your ministry, on what God would have you to do, if you're invested in it. If you invest your time just listening and sharing with others, and you'll do so more passionately, more interestingly, and compassionately if you're invested in it financially. So let me encourage you to do so. You can go online, infoconservative.edu, infoconservative.edu, and leave your name and contact information. Someone can get back with you. Or you can just simply make a check payable to First Conservative Baptist Church for the support of Let's Face the Issues. And I invite you to participate in that so that we can see this broadcast continue and reach others with the truth of God's Word. Ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about issues, I want to emphasize today religious free speech. religious free speech. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that multitudes today do not understand the source of our free speech? Multitudes today, and perhaps you're listening and you think, well, we got free speech because of our Bill of Rights. Well, that's part of it, but it originated in the Word of God. Perhaps each one listening today and your families need to understand and realize that if we're familiar with the Bible, familiar with the Word of God, it gives us the directions for life. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, God's Word, the Bible, provides us answers with issues that otherwise we would not have. But let's simply think for a moment about things like religious liberties and freedom of speech. And it is today in our nation, let me emphasize this, today in our nation, the ever-tightening religious liberties, the ever-tightening of the noose, if you please, around the freedom of speech that we have in religious free exercise of that speech is true today just as much as it was in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I remind us, we can go back to the political leaders and the high echelon religious leaders of Jesus' day, and they didn't want to hear about Jesus. They did not want to listen to the Bible. The political leaders and the spiritual leaders, wanted to attempt to silence the religious free speech. Let me just read you a few verses in Acts chapter 4. We'll skip about in it to make the emphasis because time won't allow an in-depth exegetical study in the Word of God with the chapters 4 and 5. But Simon Peter had just preached a tremendous message challenging people with the Word of God in Acts the third chapter, beginning with about verse 12 and following. He had preached them about the need for faith and for repentance and coming to know Christ as Savior. And then in chapter 4, verse 1, and as they spake, speaking of the previous verses in chapter 3, as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved, we're looking at chapter 4, verse 1 and following, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now evening tide, albeit many of them which heard the word believed, that is pistuo, the Greek word, they placed their faith in Christ, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, in other words, they gathered them together, they placed them under house arrest, they brought them together, they placed them in the midst, and here are the Sadducees and the ones that are gathered around them, and they started accusing them and pointing a finger at them and chiding them and challenging them because of their faith in Jesus Christ and because they're preaching the gospel. The scripture says, and then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, spake unto them and said, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, talking about the political and spiritual leaders now, ladies and gentlemen, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man by the means he was made whole, they had done some healing during the course of the preaching, be it known unto you all and that all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you today. And he goes on and he talks about what God had done and the need for Christ. And in verse 18, the scripture says, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. And then you find further where they are arrested as a result of that. They're thrown in jail. They're released and they go back on the streets. And what do? They start preaching again. You see, they didn't have the city council with what they call the noise ordinance meters of that day, as we do today, we'll talk about in a moment. And ultimately, after they had arrested them, thrown them in jail, chided them, challenged them, and condemned them and said, you can't do this anymore, preachers. And as a result of that, they released them. And the next day, they were doing the same thing again. And they then brought Peter. The captain of the officers brought them without violence. That is, they arrested them, brought them back before the people, brought them back before the leaders, and challenged them and chided them, saying in verse 28 of chapter 5, saying, did not we straightway command you that you should not teach in this manner? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the others apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the essence of what I want us to talk about today. When we talk about religious free speech and our constitutional rights under the Bill of Rights, I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we have the right and the responsibility of obeying God through His Word. Ladies and gentlemen, when we looked at the first few verses in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, I want us to notice two or three things about it, and then we'll make a transition from that to the illustrations of what I want to give you of what's taking place today and the attempt to estrangulate and to emasculate Christians from their religious liberties and freedom of speech that we have in America today. The first thing is, it was the religious and political leaders that were furious about the preachers and them preaching the gospel. Secondly, it was the political and religious leaders convened quickly and had a hurried meeting that confronted the Christians and challenged them and their religious liberties. We're talking about religious liberties today. We're talking about religious free speech. We're talking about our Bill of Rights and the scripture and the Bill of Rights and the First Amendment says Congress shall make no laws respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, are bridging the freedom of speech or of the press. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us that has not been abridged, it has not been changed, it's not been abrogated in any fashion. We still have that. First of all, freedom of speech and religious liberties comes directly from the Word of God. And our founding fathers, as Christian men, contrary to what some of the left-wing, loose, lax, lost liberals might want you to understand, they were Christian men. They were believers. They obeyed the Scripture. They understood the Scripture. They read the Scripture. And as a result of their knowing the Scripture, reading the Scripture, obeying the Scripture, it was codified in our Constitution. We find it in our Bill of Rights. Everything that we find in the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, ladies and gentlemen, is fountainheaded right out of our Bible. But ladies and gentlemen, in that era, it was about 61, 62 A.D. when this took place, ladies and gentlemen. It goes back in the days of Jesus and the birth of the church. The view that the Christians are ignorant dummies is what we find in this context, because that's what they called them, looked at them, and said something about the fact that they were ignorant and unlearned. In fact, in chapter 4 and verse 13, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, because Christians boldly take a stand, because we believe in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, many times in the elitist, especially in the northeastern states, in the Beltway of Washington and up in that part of the country, there's a mindset somehow that we're just little dummies, we're idiots, we're running around with Brogan shoes on and overalls, and or we're barefooted and snaggletooth with a toothpick sticking out of our teeth. That's the way they view us in some parts of America today, and want to step on every Christian as a result of that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about religious liberties and free speech. Ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, the political leaders commanded that they stop, that they cease and desist. And it was Peter that said, no, 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 not on your life. We're not going to be intimidated. We're not going to sit down. We're not going to shut up. We're going to stand up. We're not going to be silent. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand, and I've used a few minutes simply to quickly go through these few verses to set the pace and to lay the foundation of what I want us to talk about in relationship to our liberties. You see, the Bill of Rights provides for us religious liberties and the freedom of speech. Yet we have today more and more of the political leaders and the left-wing Looney Tunes and the socialists, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk more about that during the broadcast this course of this week with our governor's race and the socialist that's running for governor in the state of Florida that's a total socialist. They have some of the same problems in other states, a socialist running for governor in the state of Georgia. We have multitudes of the socialists coming out of the closet and out of the woodworks today. And ladies and gentlemen, don't you dare think that if a socialist gets elected that it's going to enhance religious liberties and freedom of speech. It will not. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can join this dialogue and discussion by dialing 401-1413. 401-1413 gets you straight through to the studio and to the microphones that we can have this dialogue and discussion. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that says, first they came for Alex Jones. Well, now, Alex Jones and what's called InfoWars, I must agree with the multitudes that's listening that sometimes he's a little radical, sometimes that he has some things to say that I question his position on them. But, ladies and gentlemen, he has the freedom of speech. He has the right of that. But this article says, first they came for Alex Jones. It's written by Joseph Ferrer, the founder and the owner of WorldNet Daily News, Internet News, one of the best sources online for conservative news. And it says here, I've been warning everyone who would listen about the greatest threat to freedom of speech, freedom of press, and the freedom of religion in America. It's not just government. Instead, the overt attack on American free speech and the First Amendment comes from the corporate behemoths like news media gateways who are ideological lockstep with the media. That is Google, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Apple, Amazon, etc. And he goes on to say, this week, YouTube and Facebook followed Apple's lead in banishing Alex Jones. Not everyone wants to defend Alex Jones, this article says. Certainly not everyone, he says. Yet the First Amendment wasn't crafted by American founding geniuses to protect tepid, non-controversial speech. It was crafted to protect just the kind of fiery dialogue, the kind that offends some people and some sensibilities. Alex Jones is a good choice to start the censorship juggernaut rolling across America. Ladies and gentlemen, the question is, who'll be next? Will it be you? Will it be me? Will it be another conservative? Will it be someone else with religious liberties and freedom of speech that's being under attack? Here's an article that says, street preacher fights the city ticket over Easter sermon. The city of San Antonio, Texas, has folded its ill-fated bid to prosecute a street preacher for preaching an Easter sermon on its public streets. Jeffrey Warner frequently travels to preach the gospel on street corners and sidewalks in various cities, but always follows local rules and regulations. During last Easter weekend, he was in San Antonio, Texas, business district, and was preaching and he amplified his preaching voice, careful to be following the noise limits set by the city. But law enforcement swarmed in and arrested him, ordering him to court on the claims of a noise ordinance violation. Just days ago, as lawyers from the Pacific Justice Foundation were preparing for trial and submitting briefs, the city dropped its case. Brad Dacus, that's D-A-C-U-S, president and founder of the Pacific Justice Foundation, represented Warner in court, appearing at hearings and filing a trial brief that convinced the prosecutors to dismiss the case for lack of sufficient evidence, his organization revealed. Quote, it was an honor, this is the attorney representing the preacher, it was an honor for me to represent and vindicate the rights of a faithful witness for Jesus Christ. It is vital that we preserve the right in America and hold the commitment to publicly proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us that we have a First Amendment right of freedom of speech. And that First Amendment right is not just for the secular. It's not just for the loosey-goosey lost out in society where we have today those that are marching down the corridors in the Capitol building, spitting on congressmen, spitting and screaming and yelling like their hair's on fire just because of Judge Kavanaugh's being nominated and then ultimately being confirmed to the Supreme Court. They have the freedom to do that. But ladies and gentlemen, somehow there's a mindset that they have the freedom, but we as Christians must lose our freedom, that somehow our constitutional rights, our First Amendment rights should be in some way abrogated or amended or thwarted or changed. Ladies and gentlemen, the street preacher and his attempt to, in their attempt to intimidate him and silence him, and ladies and gentlemen, many cities have what they call a noise ordinance. You can get out there and you can demonstrate for the LGBTQ and all of the left-wing Looney Tunes, and there's no problem with the noise decimal that they might set. But you just let a street preacher get out there. You let a Christian group get out there and start chanting the gospel or start saying anything about Jesus, and all of a sudden you have the hounds of hell come out and want to intimidate and threaten and somehow, some way, say that you've broken some ordinance of the noise medium that they have, and they run the stem up on that and somehow say, see, the needle goes too high, you're speaking too loud, you've got to quieten it down. And then, ladies and gentlemen, you have some counties and some states that use zoning ordinances, the zoning ordinances, to prevent churches from starting, from new church startups. And many of them, many of the counties and states, will tell churches that you've got to have a minimum of 2 acres, 3 acres, or 5 acres to start a new work, which thwarts the possibility of a new work from even starting. But, ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful that in 1998, we effectively squelched that potential in the state of Florida. It was the Florida Religious Liberties Restoration Act of 1998 that says that it is an impossibility for any state or county ordinance or any ordinance or city in the state of Florida to institute any kind of zoning ordinance that is designed to preclude and prevent churches from coming into the cities or the counties. They remove that element that it's got to be a certain amount of square footage space. It was enacted, ladies and gentlemen, to prevent the infringement on religious liberties. And that is so needful and necessary in every state. And it's enhancing, ladies and gentlemen. Here's an article that says, Second Thoughts on the First Amendment. This article is dated June 1st of 2018. If there were a book on how to agitate an anti-faith extremist, Chapter 1 would almost certainly recommend talking about the importance of religious liberties in America. That definitely worked on the LA Times opinion writer, Michael McGow, who was so perturbed by Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's speech on international religious freedom and the report that he spent 446 words quibbling over the war order of our First Amendment. What did the Secretary of State say that was so offensively pointed out? Exactly what was it he stated? Nothing that wasn't common knowledge to everyone who has taken the fifth grade history lessons. Here's the quote. Religious freedom is in the American bloodstream, end quote, Pompeo said. Quote, it was what brought the pilgrims here from England. Our founding fathers understood it as our first freedom. That is why they articulated it so clearly in the First Amendment. That's all Mike Pompeo said. And yet you have a lost liberal in L.A. Times that's wanting to chide him for that. This reporter said, this writer, the reporter, who must have missed the class on religious persecution in the 17th century, this article says, took issue with Pompeo's observation that religious liberties was the key to all other freedoms. Not quite, this reporter fired back, and then he wants to challenge Mike Pompeo for his statements about religious liberties being the foundation of the American bloodstream in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, we have that from all sides today where there's an attempt. Listen, many times you do not understand. Many times you, as our listener, let me simply say this, not trying to demean anyone's intelligence, but many times you'll hear the news about a Christian cake baker refused to make a cake for the Sodomite organization, or a florist that refused to make a flower presentation for a Sodomite wedding, or some videographer that does weddings that refused to do so, or many of those that are in the wedding planning business, the baking business, or the florist business, or Christian businessmen, because they have taken a stand against the Sodomite movement, then they are prosecuted and persecuted. But ladies and gentlemen, the first and foremost thing that's at stake is our religious liberties, our freedom of speech. And ladies and gentlemen, in 1954, Lyndon Baines Johnson introduced an amendment to a transportation bill, and it was the 501c3 stranglehold. It was Lyndon Baines Johnson in 1954 that hated the Catholics, and he was fearful that Kennedy would, as a Catholic, would somehow control America through Roman Catholicism, and he hated that. So therefore, he introduced that as a rider. It passed, and that rider was the Johnson Amendment that for all of those years allowed the IRS to say that Christians, when they walked through the door as a Christian pastor, could not address any political issue, and therefore thwarting and somehow circumventing his freedom of speech. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got good news for you. Most are not aware of it. It's not been highly publicized, but May the 10th of 2017, President Donald J. Trump signed an executive order canceling the Johnson Amendment. Now, yes, listen, I want to just be fast forward and say, I'd love to see our House and our Senate pass a bill that would cancel it permanently. An executive order is good for the time frame of that particular president. Another president could come in and cancel that executive order that canceled that Johnson Amendment. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you get an opportunity to talk with any legislators in Washington, encourage them to pass a bill, pass legislation that will cancel the Johnson Amendment of 1954, that will give pastors and preachers and Christians in churches the liberty without worrying about anything in the future coming to thwart our First Amendment rights. Our First Amendment right, ladies and gentlemen, if you take away the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, will absolutely crumble. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the First and Second Amendment are the two most important amendments in our Bill of Rights. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that the freedom of speech, especially the freedom of Christians and conservatives, still under serious attack today. Here's an article that says free speech isn't free anymore. The left thinks that people who believe in God, believe in the Constitution, believe in the Second Amendment, have fundamental moral problems. That's what they're up against. End quote. Further, this article says, we're all in the crosshairs of the speech code cartel, represented by the likes of Facebook and Google and YouTube, etc. And the long-term survival of almost every single independent voice is now threatened if we are threatening the freedom of speech, and especially the freedom of religious free speech in the United States of America today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in serious trouble. Here's an article that says, an atheist demands removal of a Christian Air Force Base commander, an Air Force Base brigadier general that took charge of Edwards Air Force Base is now being chided and challenged. In fact, he is being threatened by the atheist and say that he should be in jail and not the commanding general of the Air Force Base. In fact, it comes out of the sodomite Weinstein and his Military Religious Freedom Foundation that filed a formal complaint and said to the Secretary of Defense, James Mattis, and trying to get the brigadier general that's just been placed in charge of the Edwards Air Force Base removed. He complained that this promotes his fundamental denominationalist Christian belief. Just because the brigadier general had a Facebook account and had written some articles in relationship to his faith in Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a serious problem in America, and that is the attempt to curtail, to thwart, to diminish the religious liberties and the freedom of speech of every child of God. And may I say this, I'm screaming the alarm today because I believe it's time we sit up, wake up, smell the coffee, and understand that there's a problem. Here's an article from the Alliance Defending Freedom. For years, anti-religious activists have used separation of church and state to attempt to silence people of faith and remove them from the public square. And he goes on to talk about church after church after church where there's an attempt to silence their freedom of speech, to shut down any facilities they may be using. In fact, some places like Maryland, Laurel, Maryland, there's a major article about that. The Redemption Community Church wanted to operate a nonprofit coffee shop where they'd serve coffee on Sunday mornings. They were shut down, told they couldn't. Here's one at the Cross Fellowship Baptist Church in Monroe, North Carolina, the Skyline Wesleyan Church in California, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I could go on with the list as long as my arm of those churches, Christian organizations in America, that the religious liberties and the freedom of speech are under serious attack. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that there is a wall of separation of church and state, and that wall of separation of church and state is found specifically in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 16 through 19, where King Uzziah tried to go into the temple, and 81 priests begged him not to. He did anyway, and God slew him, the king, King Uzziah, for entering into the church's business. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me simply close by saying we need to wake up, listen up, be involved in active assault and light as Christians, and not allow liberties to be taken away. Thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.